The Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTKA.com. Sam Webb, Mr. Ira Weintraub on the other side. I want to remind those of you who are going to be in Indy tomorrow, we are back at the Slippery Noodle for the KeyBank Countdown to Kickoff tomorrow, our pregame show from 4 until 7. Come on down. I made it down to Indy late last night. So already here, getting ready. Ira's on his way down after the show. We are going to get it in tomorrow, getting ready, getting you ready to check out the Wolverines as they do battle with the Boilermakers. And that's obviously goes for you guys back home to wherever you are listening to us. You can listen along from 4 until 7. But if you're here in Indy tomorrow, come on down to the Noodle. We're going to have a great time, a lot of great guests, and an awesome atmosphere over at Slippery Noodle from 4 until 7. Joining us, as he does every single Friday in the 9 o'clock hour, is none other than the great John U. Bacon. Bakes, how are you?
I'm doing shockingly well, my friend. My dad has got a new radio. He can listen even more easily. And my friend Sam Webb, I don't know who replaced you on Monday, but man, that guy sounded horrible. But, man, my friend, hey, it's the kind of week you had to play hurt, and you did. So,
listen,
all the way around.
You know this about me, Bakes. It's rare that I can turn down a personal challenge.
I understand this. This is both your blessing and your curse, my friend.
Yeah, man. You're right. Provided I have the time to do so. And I just happen to have time to do so after Michigan thrashed the Buckeyes. But let's save that, because in this particular sort of back and forth between you and I want to be able to savor and enjoy that. And so I want to make that be what we build up to. Let's talk about all the other things that are being discussed in and around Ann Arbor this morning. Starting off first with the news. Well, a few news items broke yesterday, but the first one that broke was that Blake Corum out for the season, knee surgery, and what is likely the end of her. No one I talked to is expecting him to come back next season, but you know that obviously is going to be a decision that he has to make, you know, with his family, but. Assuming that the last that we saw of Blake Corum was when he got on the field in the victory formation at the end of the Ohio State game, just your thoughts on Blake Corum and his career at Michigan.
First of all, career at Michigan, phenomenal. And obviously had a great year last year, but this year was a special year. On the grand scale, of course. On the grand scale, great career, great young man who spends his free time giving meals to those who need them. I mean, on and off the field, this is one of the reasons why I think Harbaugh has enjoyed coaching this team in particular so much, is they're led by guys like Blake Corum. When the best player on your team is also one of the best guys on the team, man, it solves a lot of problems. That, you know, I want to be ahead of Blake Corum. I want to be this. Do you have a better attitude than he does? Do you work harder than he does? Do you care more about other people than he does? No. Okay, that's why he's the captain. And that solves a lot of problems. The sad, you know, trying to be careful against Illinois, and it never quite works in hockey or in football. You know, and he's run out of bounds a couple times, and then, of course, what happens, gets smashed in the knee. And that play was hard to watch, of course. The question I've got, after all the improvements we made in helmets, of course, and shoulder pads and cars and other safety issues, the knee remains utterly exposed in football. We've done nothing to protect knees in this game. It's crazy, and that's just what happened to him. So it's a bit of a Jake Butt situation, and what was striking is that you put Donovan Edwards in there with a club on his right hand, his dominant hand, and even threw him a ball in the backfield, as you recall, and he catches it. And they didn't miss a beat. That Harbaugh now has depth he did not have previously. And Corum getting the last victory formation play, class act all the way around, well-deserved. But it won't matter versus Purdue, I don't think, but it will matter in the playoffs, and they're going. that's going to be very hard to win without him, I think.
I want you to speculate for because now a lot more things make sense, right? So I remember thinking, why is Blake out there in victory formation? It was conspicuous to me that he was on the field for the last play. It makes more sense now. You look at him attempting to play in that game. I think that he and Donovan were in the same boat. I think that both of those guys were in a position where they could have said, hey, you know what? I'm hanging him up for the season and getting surgery. And I think both of those guys decided to give it a try to see if they could go, see if they could help the team. An obvious personal risk. And Blake tried it and couldn't go. Donovan tried it and found a way to continue and really contribute. And that's really the way the cookie crumbled. At least that's how I see it. I'm curious how you see it.
That's exactly how I see it. And look, I mean, we've seen it nationwide. There's nothing stopping anybody from dropping out of almost any game. And these guys have got obvious high NFL potential, it goes without saying. I mean, top round kind of stuff, the real money, the kind of money that if you handle it right, it's, you know, you're set for life. So they put all that on the line, and they didn't have to. And if they didn't, look, I mean, Donovan's hand is serious, and Corum was already banged up before that play against Illinois. And he certainly did not have to try in any way being uniform for Ohio State. So they weren't even easy passes. They were legitimate, you know, maybe you shouldn't be doing this kind of stuff. And they did for the team. So that was not – and when Donovan Edwards is playing like that and Corum tries, and he definitely did try, how is the rest of the team not inspired? And that's one of the things, going back full circle to your – first sentence, one of the things you saw on Saturday is, I'm sorry, one team is a whole lot more motivated than the other, and you can't spin that. I can't recall seeing a bigger gap in coaching preparation and execution on game day, game planning and so on, than I saw on that day. It was a stunning gap, and the players delivered.
The other bit of news yesterday, the charge against Amazi Smith, carrying a concealed weapon without transporting a concealed weapon without a license, an arrest that took place back in October, the charge that was levied a little over a month later, I think. And then, of course, we're hearing about it now. We just had Joe Simon on walking us through the timeline, saying that it is not at all out of the ordinary for how it played out, how it's been handled. That it's not being interpreted that way by many on social media, and even by some in the media. I'm curious how you make of the disconnect there, where you have obviously someone who goes through it every day say, "Hey, look, this is not. There's nothing to see here." But that doesn't seem. I don't think that's going to calm a lot of the accusations of impropriety that we see.
Has anything ever calmed Twitter, period? So, no. I'm trying to get down to it as well, and the Simon segment was excellent. Of course, don't ask me about public defending, ask Joe Simon, naturally. I'm talking to a prosecutor, I'm talking to another public defender. Neither one's from Washington County, though, where Joe is, so that also helps there. You know, the timing, of course, there's eyebrows went up. In many ways, not a good look from a PR point of view from either the Washtenaw County or U of M. But as you start shaking it down, it's a procedural issue. He's almost certainly going to have the case dismissed or expunged from his record, at least, based on community service or something. So as usual, it's a flashpoint that boils down pretty quickly. But I think that from the outside looking in, again, I hesitate. Were it not a regular Friday morning session, I wouldn't be doing this because I don't know enough yet. And if Duke lacrosse has taught us anything, it's just shut up when you don't. So I'm hesitant to say it much more than this. I do think both the county and the U of M would have been probably better served to say what happened, when it happened at the time, instead of having it come out 2 months later with the free press and so on. So that's my PR 2 cents. The legal stuff seems to be shaken out pretty quickly. And what's a big deal to us is not always a big deal to prosecutors and public defenders.
So as John Bacon, I mean, excuse me, as Joe Simon said,
careful.
This is the typical timeline. I understand.
Yeah, well, there you go. Listen to him, not me.
Yeah, he said this is a typical timeline. This has been his experience with the very same charge. He said he's dealing with similar charges now. He obviously couldn't get specific on clientele, but he said this is not out of the ordinary. The first comparison, though, Bakes, came with Amani Bates. What Joe said, you got different circumstances in that you had a different arresting agency, and then you had different circumstances, it seemed, for the arrest. And so that sort of colored the decision on whether to hold him, which is not a prosecutor's decision. That's a arresting officer in the police department decision. And apparently they found some credibility with what Mozzie, the explanation that he gave him, at least explanation enough for them to say, you can be released. You should be released.
Right. Well, and both people I've talked to so far, a public defender on the west side of the state and a prosecutor on the east side of the state, both said these cases happen a lot, and they're pretty typical. And although the prosecutor thinks they might get more often get charged right away, the public defender did not think that. So there's a difference of opinion there. But where he screwed up, and apparently the gun sellers are not good at this, telling the people when they get the gun how the laws actually work. So that is a very common confusion, sad to say, amongst those who are buying the guns with the concealed carry permit, that just the one thing does not mean you have the other. So you have to get that handled right away. You can't have the gun. The gun has to be disassembled, and the ammo has to be in a different side of the part of the car, apparently, than where the gun parts are and so on. So there are things you have to do that you don't get told when you buy a gun, which, of course, that's, boy, you want to open a can of worms, let's get into gun policy in the United States. So that's where part of this gets snagged. But anyway, it seems to be, like I said, simmering down pretty quickly on the grand scale.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time.
Yep.
Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
All right, but you know what happened. So that was the first. I gave you that as the first comparison. The second comparison is the speed with which the Michigan State tunnel assault was handled, was processed, compared to the speed with which the Mozzie Smith case was handled. You have many Michigan State fans crying foul over that this morning, saying that, wait, this is an obvious sign and show of bias. Why was the tunnel case? Why did that move ahead so rapidly? And why are the charges so serious? Now we got the legal talking head. I want the media guy, the media pundit, and your take, your impression about the difference. When it comes to the difference there.
Well, a few differences, and even though I'm qualified to give the media part and not the legal part. Joe Sam and those guys can. It still entails the legal part, and what both the prosecutor I talked to and the public defender I talked to said is, like, look, assault is fundamentally different, and that is going to be addressed far more quickly, of course, and it was. But even at that, my complaint with the Big Ten, with Kevin Warren, and by the way, I owe the man an apology, because I thought not recusing himself right away with the son of the Michigan State team, was a bad look. It probably was a bad look, and he probably should have done it just for PR purposes. But I thought his ultimate ruling from the Big Ten office was utterly fair and square on all sides. And in keeping with the basic scale you created with Juwan Howard's $40,000 fine for slapping the top of a assistant coach's head, if that's that, then this is probably about $100,000. And Michigan gets a reprimand for the tunnel. Fair, I think. They should have done more there. But anyway, from the PR point of view, look, it still took – I mean, my complaint with the Big Ten office is you're leaving it to the criminal investigation, and that's going to be slow. It's still about a month. So I wouldn't call that, you know, fast by media standards, fast by Big Ten standards. So from that point of view, again, I think Michigan and Washtenaw County would have been smart to release something in October, October 7th when he was pulled over. That is Mozzie Smith. I mean, also, man, I covered the concussion gate from 2014. And like everyone else, I thought the medical team had blown it. Everyone else had blown it. And it turned out the medical team had not blown it. The PR side had blown it. And not because they blew it, because they weren't given a chance to blow it, because the whole thing was handled so poorly from an administrative point of view. So you have to often scratch the surface to find out where the problems really exist. And in this case, I'd say there's a bit of a PR issue, but not a great deal of one. And as you dive into this, it becomes a less and less of a big deal. That will never satisfy Twitter. We know that. The pitchforks have been out and the torches. I'm struck by the fact that many people would love to see the man's life ruined and put in jail at max to make themselves feel better. I never felt that way. I don't think you ever felt that way, anyone with any brains, about the Michigan State players. But anyway, that's an aside.
So what do you make, first of all, this tunnel, excuse me, the tunnel policing, or the penalty for the handling of the tunnel? My understanding was that it had to do with the fan who touched Mel Tucker on the head. You need to have a tunnel that is more, has safer passage than that. I commented on that at the time. Said that, now, you know, this should not be put along with his reactions. That should not be put alongside the assault. Someone touched his head. That man has a right. I said that at the time. That man has a right to defend himself and react as tersely
Absolutely.
As he reacted. And Michigan should have some reprimand for that, for having that kind of access to fans. It sounds like that's being addressed, but that's being conflated with this tunnel sort of etiquette, this tunnel process or procedure, where, you know, they aren't doing a good job of how they handle people in the tunnel. First of all, there are several tunnels across the country where they have both teams go in and out. There
have been,
yeah, we've talked about 100 years of tunnel passage with nary an issue, but for Ohio State last year, some barking back and forth, and then this year, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich being tossed. And then you got this Michigan State incident that Tom Izzo seems to think is a follow-up to these other issues allegedly that have taken place. And I wonder what you make of a coach who stands on a mantra of toughness preaching a sentiment that is inherently soft. I wonder what you make of that.
Yeah, thanks, pal. So regular listeners know that I like Tom Izzo a whole lot more than Sam Webb does. But I think that I like Tom. I respect him as a person and as a coach. But after he went on his rant about this, somewhere in there he says, it's none of my business. If you have to say that, you probably should stay out of it. You're the basketball coach, not the football coach. You weren't there. That kind of stuff. And as far as conflating the two, look, you and I both agree that any knucklehead fan reaching over and touching a man's head, they canceled that guy's seats, I'm all for it. They probably need to bring back, I think they used to have, some sort of canvas or whatever, tarp, over the opening so fans could not do those kind of things, pour a drink on you or whatever. So that probably needs to come back. But that's not the same. I mean, that is an utterly separate issue from everything else. Two things. One, I think from a PR point of view, and again, I'm sticking to PR, not legal stuff and so on. after Franklin said that, and let me say also, you just got your butt handed to you on a silver platter and you're whining about that. It's a bad look. Whenever my team had their butt kicked, our butt kicked, and something they did at the end, you know, put out the power play, 2 minutes left, or whatever else, you bring that internally and use that to motivate you the next time you play them. There's no point saying that publicly because you've got no standing, basically. So take your L, shut up, and keep moving. And the peanut butter jelly thing, I mean, it's just comical. Was the crust cut off or not? That's how silly this thing sounds to me. But anyway, once that was said, I think Michigan would have been smart from a PR point of view, not from a safety point of view, because shouldn't affect it. From a PR point of view, to do something in the tunnel, say, hey, we're addressing that and this and that and the other thing. And from now on, you know, when Michigan plays Michigan State, they will have extra cops, extra security there, of course, and no Michigan player will ever go up there until Michigan State leaves the field. So that's going to be the case 2 years from now, I guarantee that, and needs to be. And by the way, the extra security is not a compliment. It's that this is now required between these two teams. So sad to say, it's true. So I think from a PR point of view, Michigan could have done something more after Penn State, would have been smarter in that case. And again, there are things you can do, but you're not going to rebuild two tunnels. You don't need to. I have been up and down that tunnel before, during, and after games. I estimated around 200 times. And I thought it was about 35 times on the side, 25 times on the sideline, 25 times at home, and about 35 times total, various other places. And I've never once felt slightly unsafe. And almost always there's somebody from the other team or a band member or somebody to, you know, it's a busy tunnel all game long. I've never seen anything. So while I think Michigan, from a PR point of view, should have done something more after Penn State to say, look, we're doing our best with this thing and this and that, it should have made the slightest bit of difference. And I don't care if Germany went up there, was woofing or not. That's not – the price for woofing is not assault. And, again, after Juwan Howard slapped the coach's head up in Wisconsin, of course, my essay I wrote that night is that he should be out for the next five games of the season. And it doesn't matter what Wisconsin did in that game or woofing afterwards. You draw a line there and you handle your own team, which is just what Ward Manuel did. His apology had nothing to say about Wisconsin and shouldn't have. When you are in the wrong, you handle your own team. That's what you do. So I got three or four opinions on this thing, and some of them are on counter, I realize. But, yes, Michigan should have done more after Penn State. No, it shouldn't have mattered. And after all that happens, you had a player take his helmet off and beat a guy on the ground. You should have nothing to say about anything else at that point. And Michigan State's apologies, they got it right. Came out on Sunday, the head coach, Mel Tucker, the AD, and the president – All had I thought, perfect apologies with nothing else said about anything else. And that's how you handle it. So this other stuff, man, like I said before.
Here's my question. I mean, are those apologies, are those statements, are they neutered to a certain extent? Because, look, Tom Izzo's voice is bigger than the AD's. His voice is bigger than the president's. To me, his voice is a proxy for Michigan State. You know, I know they had official statements, but when Tom Izzo says something, that's the position for Michigan State. And he seemed to say that, wait a minute, we're being treated unfairly by the Big Ten here if you didn't levy a stiffer penalty against Michigan, saying that they had some role in being assaulted, that some of the blame for them being assaulted falls on them, falls on how they handled the tunnel, falls on those players who went up there. Seems to me that's what he's saying. Also seems to me that if that's his sentiment, then maybe the penalty, maybe the Big Ten, either their penalty wasn't stiff enough or they need to have a few more conversations, because he definitely, you have an authority figure trying to undermine yours.
Well, and you have a very simple rule in the Big Ten. Coaches or ADs who criticize Big Ten officials, be they on the field or in the front offices in Chicago, are subject to penalty. And look, again, I love the guy, you don't. But that's the rule. And if you're violating that rule, I don't know how it doesn't apply here. And you're also right, too, by the way, the country can name Mel Tucker, they can't name the AD, and the president was interim and gone the next day anyway. Tom Izzo is bigger than all of them combined, and it's not close. So in that sense, he's got a podium that no one else has. And I mean, it depends on what you're calling Michigan State's official voice. Again, I thought they got the apologies the next day exactly right and commended them for that. But this does kind of turn back the clock on that. So, and again, I find the whole thing ridiculous, Sam, ultimately. Man, I've coached, and here on a Pioneer, we play in the same building. We are 10 feet apart, our two locker rooms. We got to pass each other in the hallway all week long, all season long, but we play each other twice a year, maybe three times. And Steve Armstrong and I had the unwritten rule. We don't talk to each other that week. We walk past each other. There may be a nod. There may not be a nod. And we've been friends since third or fourth grade. Doesn't matter. It's here on Pioneer. This is a serious rivalry. The stands are packed. It's important to us. It's not Michigan State football. It's not 100,000 people. It's important to us. The game's always very emotional. And we're sharing the same tunnel. High school hockey players sharing the same tunnel. When we have three periods, not two halves. Never once a problem.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
This is ridiculous. The whole thing goes back to one simple thing. You don't assault a man in the tunnel, period. End of discussion.
Right. I mean, let's just carry this out. Let's carry this out to a logical extent basketball-wise. Let's just look at the that Draymond Green threw at JP for. He was talking trash. He was talking – and I'm not even saying that the Michigan players were talking trash going up the tunnel, but trash talk is a part of the sport, right? You talk it, you got to be able to take it. It happens on the field of play, but basically, you know, Draymond was to a certain extent justified for sucker punching JP. I mean, he brought it on. You got to handle the first thing and you won't get to the second thing, right? Handle the trash talk and Draymond wouldn't have sucker punched. That's essentially what we're saying, are we not?
Yeah, basically. And look, as far as that goes, I am utterly consistent on this. As far as the tunnel goes versus Juwan Howard, our most recent example. I have nothing but respect for Juwan Howard. His players don't like him. They love him. They respect him. There's a great bond there. He's been very good for the University of Michigan, clearly. The man came back to get his degree, all that good stuff. But you and I had a discussion, you know, 8 months ago by saying, you don't slap a man. Same way you don't slap Mel Tucker. His head leaving the tunnel, you don't slap it. I don't care what else is going on. I don't care if they called the timeout and they pressed you and all the rest. You don't do it.
Yeah,
and that's the end of the discussion.
Hey, real quick, Sparty's killed me bringing that up. I you know, I have to go back and tell him, go back and check my tweets when the slap happened. The suspension.
Oh, I know. Sam, you've been utterly consistent also. It doesn't matter. Trust me. And I love how – we want to play some Twitter fun here. Let's see. The book came out, End Zone, The Rise, Fall, and Return of Michigan Football. Whenever Michigan lost, take this back, an idiot. And I haven't heard a thing the last 2 years. Haven't heard a thing. So on that one. So I guess Michigan football has returned. When I tweeted out when they first hired Mel Tucker, and as Beekman, the interim AD, who had no experience whatsoever in an athletic department before getting that job at Michigan State, is an administrator on the Hill, basically, at Michigan State, and saying, look, I said in the tweet, I have no idea if Mel Tucker is going to succeed or not, and no one does. That's why you don't pay a 5-7 coach with 1 year experience at Colorado $5 million. I said, that's inexperience. And whenever Michigan lost 2 years in a row to Michigan State, this didn't age well, hundreds, Sam. All right? When he's 5-7, I'm not hearing a peep again. So if they think you're wrong, you get hammered. If they think you're right, crickets. The selective reading, the selective hearing – on this show right now, you watch what happens after we get off. It's insane.
I want to bring together.
It's adolescent, and I'm tired of it. But anyway.
Right. Well, hey, that's good. That's not going anywhere. But
no,
I want to bring together my point in bringing up the Draymond Green thing. These two things are not the same. I'm talking about the sentiment that you cultivate in your players. If you give oxygen to, well, you know what? You shouldn't have done it, but they kind of brought it on. Then that's what you get. That's what you get. That's the kind of behavior that you might say, hey, I'm disgusted. I'm disgusted by what our players did, but you just in part gave them license to do that.
That's right. Well, I hate to say it, on a more serious level, it's the short skirt argument. That she hardly had it. She shouldn't have worn the short skirt. She doesn't deserve that, but she should not have worn the short skirt. It is immaterial to what happens next. It is vital in the Wisconsin case, and Ward Manuel got this exactly right, that no coach can strike anybody, period. You just can't. Doesn't matter what else they're doing. Ward got that right. You got that right when the time came. I thought Michigan State got that right for the first week, and now we're doing this.
Hey, Draymond got it right. He was like, you know what, man? I was just flat wrong. It don't matter what that man said to me. I can't be just running up, sucker punch. Well, I don't know if he said sucker punch, but I can just run up punching him in the face like that. I mean, it's, that's not the right risk, but not the proper response. And there was all kind of buildup, and definitely JP, if the reports of what JP said to him are true, yeah, he was stinging him real bad. But that's not license to go up and assault someone, right? Now, at least.
And Draymond Green, like you said, give Draymond Green credit. He just said, I shouldn't have done it. I was wrong. And that ends it. And when I'm consulting with corporations and so on PR, I said, nothing is more boring than an apology and more exciting than a cover-up. So you pick.
And so his issue, he would say, Izzo would say, well, it's different. There was no league reprimand. There was no league stepping in. It was a team thing. It was handled. It was wrong, but it was handled, and the league didn't step in and punish one side and not the other. I understand the circumstances of these two cases are different. I'm talking about the mentality that you cultivate. It is soft. It is soft to be talking about, oh, well, look what they did. It wasn't handled the right way on the other side, because what you're doing is you're giving life, you're giving breath to this idea in the player's head. You know what? Hey, man, I shouldn't have taken it that far, but he kind of got what he deserved. They kind of got what they deserved. That's exactly what you're saying, whether you intend to or not.
That's exactly what you're saying, and I'm not sure you don't intend to. But whether you intend to or not, that's the message, obviously. These things cannot have qualifications. And we agreed on that after the Wisconsin game, and we agree on it now. Another example I gave you before when I was coaching, we're in the handshaking line. It's a dicey game. And one of their players said something to my guy on the way out, and my guy started going after him, and I grabbed his jersey. He said, I said, I don't coach him. Sorry. So we have higher standards, and that's all there is to it. If you want to claim to have higher standards, you don't get in this mud. You just don't get in it. And man, what we've said before, Sam, talking about this, the Ohio State rivalry, here's two big compliments for the Ohio State community, if you will. One, Ryan Day, we learned afterwards that when he's punted on 4th and 5 and JT Stroud was dying to go for it publicly, we learned after the fact that, in fact, the play was run wrong. It was supposed to be a fake punt, and the long snapper blew it. You and I both know that now. Ryan Day had the chance to bury that long snapper. He didn't. He took it himself. He didn't blame anyone else for the loss. And I thought his conduct in that interview afterwards, and those things are tough. They are tough. Jack Harbaugh told me it's the one time of the week for which you're utterly unprepared, because you're prepared for everything else. You're not prepared for that. And I thought Day was utterly first class. I get on 11 Warriors, which is a fan site. It's not, the Columbus Dispatch, which is, made to be objective. And their take is utterly objective. It points out where Michigan succeeded, where Ohio State failed. And it's unflinching, and they're not piling on Ryan Day by any means. They're looking at it objectively. And I thought, the media in that case just nailed it. And that can increasingly contrast what you see with the Michigan State rivalry, which is
It's a great segue and a great place for a break point. I'll say this about the Buckeyes, man. They talked a lot before the game. A lot of Michigan fans, a lot of Michigan folks kind of gave it to them after the fact, and they're taking it. That's how it's supposed to be. You get beat, especially like that, you take it.
They owned all of it.
Yeah, they've owned all of it. I give them credit for that.
Except for Zach Smith. He's MIA. Zach Smith is MIA.
Yeah, he's been, yeah. But you know what? He's taking it. I will give him that. He's taking it. All right, we got to get to a break. Back on the other side, more John U. Bacon here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050. 50, WTK, the ticket.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.